Lions fans. It's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The show where Kool-Aid runs blue, faces turn red, and rose-colored glasses never go out of style. This is the Detroit Lions Podcast. Your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection. And now, two guys who run a 4-minute 40. Chris and Case.
Hey, howdy ho, Lions fans. Welcome to the Detroit Lions Podcast. This is episode 40, and this is the first of our Quick Takes episodes. This is the official Detroit Lions Podcast for Reddit. I'm your host, Chris, and with me is my good friend and co-host, Case. How you doing, man?
I think blah is probably the proper adjective right now.
Did those Honolulu blue balls clear up a little bit?
Yeah, it's more a general feeling of malaise now. But
okay. In today's show, we're going to react to the announcement that Coach Caldwell was retained. We're also going to talk a little bit about Kyle O'Brien and the hire there. This is the first of something we're calling our Quick Takes episodes. These are really going to be shorter episodes that are reacting to breaking news and things that are going on right now, and as we're available to be able to do the recording for you guys. We're going to do this throughout the off season and maybe into next season as well, but we thought this was a good idea and a good way to get our reactions out there for you. So not a long show, but we got some pretty important things to talk about here. Are you ready to go, Case?
Oh, yeah.
Let's kick this off and break it down.
All right, couple announcements. That part doesn't change. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, DET Lions Podcast, at DET Lions Podcast. Rate us on iTunes. Thank you to those who've done so. And iTunes isn't the only place you can do it. Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, all that kind of stuff. Wherever you find us, please give us a rating so other people know what you think about this show. Don't forget to check out our website, DetroitLionsPodcast.com, particularly if you're going to do some Amazon shopping. You click on the link to Amazon on the right side of our page. You have to have your ad blocker turned off, by the way, and go to Amazon that way. That gives us a little bit of help. Amazon gives us a little kickback, and it doesn't cost you guys anything extra except a couple clicks, and it helps us out, helps pay for our bandwidth and keeping the show going. So thank you for all you who've done that, and those who haven't, keep at it, man. Give it a shot. You can also get concert tickets, theater tickets, any kind of tickets you can think of nationwide at any venue from our sponsors page. Click on SeatGeek. That'll set you up with some pretty cool seats. Pick your seat before someone else does it for you. And lastly, if you want any official Lions merchandise, it's the quality stuff, the real stuff. They sell at the Lions store online and even at the stadium itself at Ford Field there. Get to our sponsors page, click on the Fanatics link, and go to Fanatics there. Again, because you went there from our site, they give us a little kickback and it helps us out. Don't forget to leave us a voice message via Skype, Detroit Lions Podcast, Detroit Lions Podcast. That's all one word. You can also call us on the Lions line, 929-33-LIONS. That's 929-335-4667. Just leave us a message. You get a chance to hear yourself on the show. All right, let's get going with these quick takes.
Tighten your chin straps, kids. It's time to review this week in Reddit.
All right, so many of you probably already have heard, I think probably all of you, but if you haven't, hey, it's great, we're breaking some news here. The Detroit Lions have retained Jim Caldwell as the head coach for the 2016 season. You know, you guys have heard what we think of him. I'm going to let Case start it out here. Case, where are you at on this decision?
Well, like I kind of implied, it doesn't excite me. I understand, and I've actually been somebody who's been a proponent of consistency and how that can help teams like over the long term. But after watching Caldwell in the first half of the season this year, botch games that may have otherwise been winnable games, I can't get behind it. And I'm very surprised at the reaction this is getting in the subreddit. Especially because I feel like maybe people's memories are short, and I know that people's memories are short. But do you guys not remember how frustrating a head coach he was in the first half of the season, and how many games that could have been won if his scheming had been a little different, if he'd stayed aggressive, or if he just hadn't made some boneheaded decisions? And that worries me going forward. No, I don't think it's impossible for us to win with Caldwell. I don't think it's likely for us to, you know, win the Super Bowl with Caldwell. But I don't think it's impossible. We're going to need more luck than, you know, you'd like to have in order to make it happen. But I just feel like you get a new GM in. To me, that's the perfect time to switch gears. And I know that Caldwell hasn't been there that long. And I can understand. I'm definitely not a big guy in favor of switching head coaches every couple of years. I'm not big on that. So, like, I'm conflicted in saying this. But I just think that the time to change up coaching staffs when something is clearly not really working is when you bring in a new GM and bring in somebody who meshes with the GM. And I think there were probably some options out there. Even if they hadn't gone with McDaniels or Patricia, who a lot of people were in favor with, I think maybe there were a lot of other, more off the beaten path type choices that maybe they wouldn't have worked out. But they, you know, you settle for mediocrity and you're going to get mediocrity. And I feel like that's what's happened here. And I'm a little disappointed.
No, I don't necessarily disagree with anything you said, Case. I am definitely not a fan of Caldwell. I didn't want him to stay. I may eat crow. I doubt it. I don't think we're Super Bowl bound next year. Even Quinn said, you know, he didn't promise a Super Bowl next year. He's a very smart man. But as down as I am on Caldwell, I can see a couple reasons why it might be smart to keep him. And I think, you know, number one is the Calvin angle. I think Caldwell staying is a really big reason for Calvin to stay with the team. If Caldwell was gone, I just based on all the other players and their reactions and how much they love Caldwell, I think Calvin would have just left. That would have been the end of the story with him. I think now he may give an opportunity to do a little bit of a negotiation and make it work out with him and stay with the team. So there's one reason. What's Calvin going to be next year? I don't know. He hasn't been that superstar guy. He really shone a lot towards the end of this season, but we just really have to see what's left in the tank on that guy. I'm really disappointed at how quickly it seems that he's fallen off and the toll that the game's taken on his body. So he's staying, so that I think that's a good thing. The second thing, you know what? The players believe in Caldwell. And they were very vocal about it, almost to a man. And you know what? You don't want management to alienate the players on day one. If he were to come in and say, fuck you guys and everything you think about this coach, we're starting over, he would lose them right there. That makes negotiation of contracts more difficult. It makes a lot of things more difficult for the organization. And I understand the professionals, but they still have feelings and they're still really kids. I mean, if you think about half that team and how old they are, I think it, for a short-term move, it's probably a good move. It gives him also, you know, another reason is it gives Quinn a year to get into this organization, to get deep in there and have the players understand him and believe in him the way they believe in Caldwell now. He can take that goodwill. He can earn that goodwill with those players. And over that time, he can better understand the organization. He can understand what needs to be changed and what needs to be expanded upon to help make this team successful. And that kind of leads into my next reason why it's probably good to keep Caldwell. Most of the good coaches are pretty well taken at this point. There's nobody out there that really rings my bell and makes me think, well, I'm going to make a 3-year commitment to this guy because he's absolutely better than Caldwell right now. I think, you know, with all those, you know, those reasons I gave so far, it's not a bad thing to sit with Caldwell for one more year and enter the coaching game next year when you've checked all those other boxes for all those other reasons I said. So again, I'm not a fan of Caldwell, but I can see there's a lot of very valid reasons to hold on to him for one more year.
I can, and I mean, I do understand that. I want to jump back to talk real quick about one point that you made, and that's the Calvin Johnson thing. It's a tough one, and I know that me even talking this way is immediately going to alienate some people who don't want to even hear anything about you know, Calvin leaving. But first of all, we don't know that Caldwell staying is going to keep Calvin here. I mean, I understand where you're coming from with that, and I've heard a lot of people say that. In fact, I think a lot of people might be getting the impression, because they've heard so many different people say it, that there's something out there that like legitimizes that, like he said that, but he hasn't, so we don't know.
No, and I'm completely extrapolating based on the rest of the team's opinion about Caldwell.
Right.
And it's maybe just one more factor that Calvin takes in consideration in making his decision. But I certainly don't think that he's the one holdout player that doesn't want Caldwell there, and that's going to sway his if Caldwell's not gone, that's going to sway his decision to leave, right?
Yeah. The other two, there's two other things that I want to talk about with Calvin, and I want to preface this by saying I still think that Calvin's a great player. I still think that if he was on the team next year, that he would be productive. But there's two caveats to that. Number one, would he be healthy? How many games would he miss? When he's on the field, will he be 100%? And the answer to that seems like somewhere in the gray area. Like, he'll probably miss some games. He probably won't be 100% all the time, and that could cause some problems, you know. And leading off of that, if we keep Calvin for one more year on a, you know, will he or will he not be healthy situation, it could actually set the team back in terms of their ability to move on at that position and grow other people at that position and bring other people in at that position. And I don't want to stand too hard on that, because again, I think Calvin's a great player, and I don't think you want to ditch great players just, you know, on a whim, you know, but I'm concerned that I'm concerned that being too big of fans of him might blind us to what could possibly be some better long-term plans. And like I said, I don't want to stand too hard on that. I just want to say.
No, that's cool.
And people think about it.
Let me throw a counterpoint there to that. Just, you know, because it's a decision that has a lot of facets. It's not easy. It's not cut and dry. But you know, you keep Calvin, and sounds weird to say, but he's certainly going to be a serviceable wide receiver on this team next year. That's one more position you don't have to draft or free agent for and get onto this team. That's something you can put off for a year. And I don't think that that's a bad thing, because we have some gaping holes on both lines and in a couple of areas where we really need some help. You throw wide receiver into that mix, and then, you know, you're grabbing at people where you could have had holes, at least a serviceable position filled, rather than throwing yourself a hole in your lineup that you have to fill later.
Yeah, and we should move on. I just want to give one counterpoint there before we do. The amount of money that we could use by him not being with the team could be used to help fill some of those things. And how, I mean, you're not going to get anybody in who matches him, you know, in terms of how much he brings to the team when he's healthy. But you might be able to build some, plug some holes, with that kind of money. And I don't enjoy talking about the subject, so we should just move on.
Yeah. I think it's $11 million we'd get if we cut him, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Or if he retired. We still get the dead money blow. Retires, but
yeah. All right. The other hire of note today was a gentleman named Kyle O'Brien. Bob Quinn hired him as basically his right hand man. He's been in the NFL for 14 seasons. He spent 10 of them with the New England Patriots, and started while he was in Harvard as a player personnel intern. Spent a year with the Chiefs, and then spent the last 3 years with the Jaguars and helped them with a lot of their young talent. This guy looks like a pretty sharp cookie. Looks like he knows what he's doing. Obviously, there's not a whole lot of, you know, this position isn't radically celebrated out across the league or anything, but, you know, Quinn spent some time with him, has some history with this guy, obviously trusts him because he's brought him in as his right-hand guy, and got rid of someone who's been here since the fucking Stone Age. We've talked a lot about how this team has done in oftentimes a great job of drafting people, but a terrible job of developing them. Corey Fuller looked like a guy that we could have developed into something, he's not changed at all over the years. We haven't seemed to have developed him at all. Being able to go out and scout people and find the right people is important as the season goes on. And as we look at personnel development, it looks like this guy might be able to help us in that way and help guide us in developing some of these younger players that we pick up.
Yeah, he did a good job the last 3 years in Jacksonville and bringing in a lot of talent for them. And this is, okay, before I get into this, I want to say this about front office guys. They are incredibly hard to evaluate as fans because everything they do is behind closed doors. They're not like players. They're not like coaches. We don't get to see them on game day. We don't get to see the decisions they like. We don't know who, who vetted for what player, who did the scouting report on this guy, that guy, who, went to bat for who. So trying to place blame and credit for front office guys as fans is incredibly difficult. And we do it all the time anyway. But, we usually put a lot of blame and or praise on the GM. And while that is, we only do that because that's the most obvious face to place the blame or the credit or give credit, And ultimately, the things are their decisions.
But yeah, his decisions are obvious in many cases.
Yes, but I mean, he bases his decisions off of other guys' scouting reports. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's tough. Now, good at getting back on a Kyle O'Brien and saying, what we do know of him is that that while he was with the Jaguars, they brought in a lot of young talent. They brought in Blake Bortles, who up and down, but also guys like Allen Robinson and Luke Jokel and T.J. Yeldon and Marquise Lee and Denard Robinson. They brought in a lot of young players with a lot of talent, and Dante Fowler. I mean, they've been doing a good job at bringing in young talent lately, and to me, that's what this team needs to continue to do. That is what a good team does, is bring in young talent. Now, you think of the Jaguars, and you don't necessarily think of a good team, but for all we know, in 3 years, they will be a good team because of the young talent they have been, that they have been bringing in. So to me, it's a good hire. That said, again, we'll have to wait and see, and we'll have to try to evaluate the best we can, with what little information we can glean about who does what. So,
yeah, absolutely. All right. So I want to talk a little bit about the bottom line here. And, there's a lot of people out there, some in the media, some just Twitter dudes, some Redditors, whatever. And they're saying that this was absolutely a good move or this was absolutely a terrible move. I just want to say straight up, all of them are talking out of their ass at this point. None of them know. They're making predictions. They're basing it, some more educated than others. But the reality is, based on just what Case just said, we won't know how a lot of these front office guys are until we see the results. Caldwell, we have a feeling about him, but he could surprise us. I don't think he will, but he could surprise us. We're not going to know until we either see the results of these decisions. So, not being able to predict the future, not having a real good map to be able to predict the future on these things, there's one thing that is key, at least to me, and that's accountability. Letting someone like Millen run for 7 years, there was no accountability there, and that was an abject failure of the organization. And what I see today with Martha, the love of my life, Martha in charge, is she believes in accountability. And she's not going to accept mediocrity. She's not going to accept bullshit. And she's not going to accept failure. So the one thing that we have that gives us hope, even though we don't know how good these are going to be, we can have a feeling one way or the other, is that Martha is going to react if things don't go well. And that's something that's completely different for this organization since 1963.
Yeah, you make a good point. What we do know is that even if this, experiment doesn't work with Caldwell, that Caldwell's job probably is not that safe. If we don't make the playoffs next year and win, if we make the playoffs this next year, I'd be a little surprised if he gets fired. But if we don't make the playoffs, I would be surprised if he doesn't get fired. Because she doesn't, she's old. I don't think she wants to wait around on, and again, I'm not in favor of changing coaches every couple of years, but if he gives us 3 years where we've there's plenty of documentation out there on boneheaded things that he's done and games that he's cost us. If that continues to cost us games in big situations, I can't imagine he'll be around. So at least you're right. There is that. Hopefully, even if this doesn't work out right now, we're in a situation where we're more ready to try to change things when they don't work out, instead of getting stuck in these long ruts.
Yep, absolutely. All right, guys, that is our first of these quick take episodes. Remember, this show needs your involvement. Use the comments in the sub to give feedback. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter, DET Lions Podcast at DET Lions Podcast. And don't forget to leave us a voice message via Skype, Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast. Also, you can leave us a voice message on the Lions line, 929-33-LIONS, 929-335-4667. Don't forget to use our Amazon link at DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Use that link to go to Amazon and help us pay the bills to keep this show going. All right, now, this is the first of the quick take episodes. We're going to do more of these. This does not mean we're not going to continue doing the longer episodes. Those will still happen throughout the offseason. On a weekly or biweekly basis, we'll let you guys know as we keep going through this stuff. But right now, we want to get a reaction out to this new information, the breaking news, and let you guys know where we stood on it. All right. Make sure you go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com, subscribe to the podcast, so it will come in your device automatically. It smells a little bit like me. All right. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next time on the Detroit Lions Podcast. It's your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection.
Let's bring it in here together. Let's go.
Let's go, baby. Lions on three. One, two, three.
Lions!